This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, and the Superhuman Radio studio continues to be a standing friendly workplace. I am standing much more in the studio. I've ordered a boom microphone because I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm telling people that they need to be up and around more frequently, not sitting for 4, 5, 6 hours a day. I'm going to do it myself. So as I stand here and do the show today, a couple reminders. First of all, the 8th Annual Podcast Awards. We are nominated for a podcast award in the health and fitness segment. A category. If you visit podcastawards.com daily and vote for Superhuman Radio, we will appreciate it greatly. If you visit the Superhuman Radio website daily, you'll see a pop-up that will remind you to vote. Click it, vote, and then come back to the website and get back to what you were doing. Also, AgeForce is offering their Power Patch and the new Power Patch Extreme, which is twice the number of transdermal patches. These are patches that have actual growth hormone in them, and they are now available in twice the quantity for a similar price. Anyone can sign up for Power Patch Extreme if you go to superhumanradio.com and click one of the AgeForce banner ads. That's the only way to take advantage of that offer. Okay, we've got a great show planned for today. During the first hour, Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Onge will be talking to us about the different effects of sleep duration and hunger on men and women. Very, very interesting conversation. Later in the show, Dr. Robert DeSilvestro will be talking about low-dose lipidated curcumin and its health benefits. We all know about curcumin, but it's not very bioavailable. So we're going to be talking about this different form, different delivery system later in the show. Okay, Dr. Saint-Onge, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Welcome to the show. Dr. Saint-Onge is affiliated with both the New York Obesity Nutrition Research Center at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital, as well as the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University. We're talking today about some research that your group has done, looking at the gender differences that short-duration sleep plays on hunger. And you found some things that really fly in the face of what we thought, or what we thought we knew, in the past. It's a really, really intriguing study, I think. So to get started, would you explain the design of the study for my audience?
Yes, the purpose of the study was to determine whether sleep duration actually plays a role in the development of obesity. So we wanted to see, there's a lot of information about sleep and obesity, there's a relationship in epidemiological studies, but those provide links, they don't tell us that there's actually a cause and effect.
Right.
So when we actually designed the study and started out with the grant application, we wanted to see if altering sleep duration would affect energy balance, basically energy expenditure.
As well as the mechanisms. I think you felt that there was going to be some evidence, but I guess what you're really looking for here is to elucidate the mechanisms by which this happens, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so how many subjects were in the study?
We recruited 30 participants, and we had 27 complete the study. So we had a very good retention rate.
Okay.
Very good. So there was 14 men and 13 women who completed both phases of the study. It was a within-subject design. So everybody went through two separate phases where in one phase, we allowed them to sleep 9 hours per night. So they would get their full night's sleep. And one phase, we let them sleep 4 hours per night. And we assessed energy intake, energy expenditure, and the mechanisms, the controls of energy intake and energy expenditure. So over the first 4 days, so this was a 6 day study, 6 day phase. So over the first 4 days, we controlled our participants' diets, so they couldn't.
And I want to talk about that, but first, I have a question. You allotted 9 hours for these folks to sleep each day, and I'm assuming they were keeping diaries, right? They were not sleeping in a controlled environment, right?
It was a controlled environment. Yeah.
Really?
They were in the lab the whole time, so they checked in with us on the morning of day one, and they checked out on the evening of day six. We were with them the whole time.
Wow.
We wanted to make sure that no one would fall asleep or sneak in a nap
now,
on the short sleep.
My question is, you say specifically 9 hours. Did everyone sleep 9 hours? Was it mandatory they slept 9 hours? Did they wake up but have to stay in bed and fall back asleep until 9 hours was achieved? Or was that the total amount that they had to sleep and everybody slept at varying durations?
No, they had to spend that much time in bed. So basically, we wanted to make sure that we enrolled participants who normally slept 7 to 9 hours per night. So they weren't short sleepers, they weren't extremely long sleepers. But let's say you usually sleep 8 hours per night, and if we had decided our habitual sleep phase was an 8 hour time spent in bed, and it takes you 15 minutes to fall asleep, and
yes,
then you want to sleep 8 hours, then we're cutting your sleep short if we wake you up after being in bed for 8 hours.
Sure.
So we wanted to make sure that if they were 9 hours in bed, they'd have the full sleep opportunity. Men during that time slept about 7 hours and 25 minutes. Women slept about 7 hours and 45 minutes. So on average, in our study, our participants slept 7 hours and 35 minutes during the 9 hour time in bed episode.
I got to tell you, I'm really impressed so far with the design of the study. Okay, so now you also controlled for diet. What type of a diet were they asked to eat?
They ate. It was a normal diet, basically.
Don't use the word normal on this show, because there is nothing normal out there. So, macronutrient wise, was it 40% protein? 30% fats.
It was a 30% fat, 15% protein, 55% carbohydrates.
Oh my goodness!
Of foods commonly, that you would commonly see being eaten, for breakfast, for example, we'd have a bagel with peanut butter and jelly and yogurt an orange.
No, I understand. I understand. That's the standard. That's the dietetic standard today. That's the way people are fed in hospitals. I don't disagree with, I don't agree with the macronutrient ratios. The fact that we have diabetes, which could also be looked at, insulin resistance can also be looked at, carbohydrate intolerance, and we have a country here that begs its people to get the largest portion of their diet from carbohydrates, and it just seems to me a little counterproductive. But I understand this is the American diet, so you followed exactly what the American diet was. So were these calorically adjusted for men and women? Were they different, or did everybody get to eat whatever they want ad libitum, but in those ratios?
No. During the first 4 days, we gave them a strict diet. We actually calculated how much energy we think they should be eating based on an equation, and we fed them that amount of food every day, always the same amount of calories every day, and the same amount of calories both phases for the first four days for each phase, and the meals were always fed at the same time. So this was very important because the hormones that we're measuring in the study are hormones that are affected by your food intake and are affected also by meal patterns. So we wanted to make sure that in both phases, short sleep and habitual sleep, our participants would be eating the exact same thing so that our hormones would only be affected by the sleep and not by whatever food choices they would make and caloric intake.
Now, the only thing that I see here that makes me go, is that some of these people may have ended up eating a lower level of K calories than they normally would had they been at home. So
correct.
This downward calorie modification could have an effect on the insulinogenic response to postprandial insulinogenic response to food, because these people are actually dieting now.
Correct. So basically, the equations that we use to estimate energy requirements are not always very good, always very precise. On an individual basis, there's a lot of error involved with those.
Right.
The important point for us is that it was the same diet, the same amount of energy,
sure,
both phases.
Sure.
So what happened is they were on a negative energy balance. So basically they were eating, like you said, less than they would have been eating to maintain their body weight. And we did find slight weight loss for both phases.
Yeah.
This was somewhat inevitable because over such a short period of time, we couldn't easily adjust their diet to prevent that.
No, I understand.
Because, you know, the first couple of days, they're like, well, it's a new diet, water shifts, you know.
Yes. No. I am not complaining about what I see is for the next study. What I'd like to see is no alteration of the way they eat, because that would really tell the true effects of short duration sleep, because we know that sleep and or dietary modulations can affect the hormonal responses to food.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of feel like this is a great study, and we're going to talk more about it. We have to take a break, but I'd love to see you do is let these people eat the way they normally do, and then let's look at the insulin response or the potential for hyperinsulinemia after short duration sleep. It would just be interesting to look at. That's all. That's all I'm saying. Here's
okay.
What we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Onge. We're talking about how sleep duration affects hunger differently in men and women. It's going to get really interesting now. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Deine Eltern sind auf einem Tennisturnier.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomeres.
device. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The big election is over, but you still have to vote for Superhuman Radio to win the health and fitness category in the 8th Annual Podcast Awards at podcastawards.com. Go there. Vote daily. Okay. We're talking with Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Onge, and we're talking about how short sleep durations affect men and women differently. So what hormones did you look at, Dr. Saint-Onge?
We looked at leptin, ghrelin, adiponectin, glucagon-like peptide 1, and peptide YY.
Okay. And GLP-1 and peptide YY are two hormones along with, I guess, leptin that impart a level of satiety, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so what did you find and how did it vary between men and women?
We found that in women, GLP-1 was reduced on short sleep compared to habitual sleep, but that wasn't the case in men. In men, we found that ghrelin was increased with short sleep compared to habitual sleep.
So ghrelin was increased. Ghrelin increases hunger.
Correct.
But it also increases growth hormone response by the pituitary. Interesting. Okay, and GLP-1, which is now fast becoming a very popular bariatrics drug. Now have GLP-1 in injectors for women and men to take. It also slows down the digestive process, does it not?
Yes.
Yeah, so it slows down digestion and also imparts a sense of satiety. So the basic difference between men and women when they end up with a short duration sleeps that affects their a desire for eating is at opposite ends of the pole, isn't it?
Well, one is about satiety and the other is about, you know, increasing appetite. Yeah. It was interesting. We weren't expecting to see such gender differences. And we didn't really know what to expect in terms of GLP-1. Well, we didn't know what to expect. We were thinking that satiety would be reduced on short sleep, but we, no one had assessed it before.
Yeah. And you thought it was going to be in both groups, I would imagine. Men
exactly.
and women.
Exactly. I would have thought men
the same
and women.
Way.
Yeah. We're also, very few studies have been done in women to look at the hormonal profile in response to short sleep.
Well, and now adiponectin is another really interesting one. I have seen some varying gender differences in both adiponectin response as well as some of the diseases that adiponectin may play a role in exclusively in women but not men, like asthma. There seems to be a linkage between adiponectin levels and asthma, but only in women. So was the adiponectin response different in men versus women?
No.
It was the same.
We didn't see any difference there.
Now,
really see an effect of sleep on adiponectin either. So.
Okay. What about glucose and insulin? This is the really interesting one.
Right. Glucose and insulin, we didn't find any effect of short sleep on glucose and insulin. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about before the break, how our subjects were on negative energy balance.
Yeah.
I think that may have, but either that would have masked an effect of short sleep on glucose and insulin, or some of the glucose and insulin results that are out there are due to differences in energy balance where if participants are overeating on short sleep, the overeating on short sleep is what's driving it.
Yeah. No, and I have a feeling that's
other
it.
Than the short sleep per se. So that's another thing I wanted to go back on.
Please.
When you were talking about the effects of sleep and looking at ad lib feeding in the context of short sleep to assess the full effect of short sleep on those hormones, if you want to isolate the effect of sleep itself and just be sure that it is sleep that's driving the relationship, then it's important to make sure that everything else is as controlled as can be. So that's why we didn't let our participants eat whatever they wanted, and that's why we controlled their meal times and their food intake and the foods that they did eat to make sure that we were isolating that effect of the sleep duration.
Oh, and I agree. I agree completely. The only challenge is that insulin resistance is a dynamic condition, varying both by the individuality of a person and how far up the road of insulin resistance they are. And insulin resistance is completely reversible with, in 99% of people over a specified period of time, whatever that is, but it's completely reversible when you start to look at energy management, energy expenditure, and you get people to start eating right, the right choices of foods, but cutting back on these foods as well. And we, so the reason I even, this long is because I think that so many people would benefit just from a modified caloric intake out there that it could have a profound effect on insulin response and insulin sensitivity. That actually, in my humble opinion, and keep in mind, I am not accredited. I have nothing. You know, I mean, I'm like the guy sitting next to you on the subway, you know, who wants to talk intelligently with you, and you're looking at him and going, please leave me alone. I just want to read my newspaper and get home, you know. But I kind of feel like that had the potential to mask what really happens to insulin in these people, because I still believe that, I mean, there's a lot of research out there that shows that short duration sleep increases the insulinogenic response. Mm-hmm. We know that it increases the craving for certain foods. These foods tend to become sugars fast, which creates this ebb and flow, you know, madness of eating and needing more to eat and so on. And it's this whole cycle that creates the obese, diabetes condition.
Yeah. So it's very, very intertwined.
Yeah.
I have a paper in press to reviewing the literature on energy balance and sleep duration, and it's very mixed out there also. And we were talking about leptin and ghrelin, and a lot of it has to do with the dietary conditions that people are in when we test them.
Right.
It's very important. Is the diet controlled? And if the diet is controlled, are they in energy balance, or are they in negative or positive energy balance?
Right.
And just that in itself can affect, you know, all of the hormones that affect food intake regulation.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All of these details are so important to gather, because if on short sleep participants are in positive energy balance and on habitual sleep they're in neutral energy balance, then the results that we're finding are affected by that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and it is difficult. It's very, very, it's so much easier to use mice and rats too, by the way.
Because
yes. they cooperate so much better, and they'll eat that little chow, you know, that you can give them. But yeah, no, I know.
But they bite.
Yeah, they do bite. You know, no doubt about it. Okay. So what were you most surprised at from this research?
Well, we were expecting, you know, your usual and adverse glucose and insulin profile, and we were expecting leptin to be reduced and ghrelin to be universally increased, and then that's not what we found, and we were like, okay, why? What happened? What did we do? Why are our results different? So that was shocking.
Did you check these hormone levels on a daily basis?
We had fasting samples every day, and then after 3 nights of our sleep protocol, so on day 4, we had hormone samples, we had blood samples taken very frequently in the morning, and then every 2 hours, starting at 10 a.m., every 2 hours throughout the night until the next morning.
Was there an adjustment, was there evidence of some sort of adjustment period, day 1, day 2, then all of a sudden day 3, glucose and insulin levels seemed to find a nice happy medium?
No.
And it was straight right from day 1, it was the same.
No, exactly the same. And it was, you know, even on when we looked at our daily profile on short sleep and habitual sleep for glucose and insulin, the curves are superimposable.
Wow. That's
it was amazing. Almost too perfect.
Right.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Did any of the subjects complain about being hungry during the day?
No one complained.
No. So it was what they were getting was adequate. It was tolerable. They were not feeling hunger pangs or anything like that.
No.
Interesting. No. This is really intriguing.
We also asked them, we gave them questionnaires where they would rate their appetite ratings and satiety ratings, and then we saw no difference between the two sleep phases on those data. But then when we let them eat whatever they want, after we were done with all of our hormone measurements on day four, they ate more.
Yes.
During the period of short sleep compared to habitual sleep. And it was not negligible. It was about 300 calories.
Yeah.
So it was quite a bit. And it was what was really good with those data, we found 296 calorie difference between the two groups. And another paper that had assessed energy intakes over a two-week period, published by Nedelcheva, probably just 2 years before us. It was a two-week measurement period of short sleep and habitual sleep. Their results were a difference of 297 calories. So we were one calorie different from them. It was quite striking.
Yeah,
they
that
had a
is
much smaller sample size.
So based, and obviously this has to be looked at, extrapolated, more research must be done, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at this study by itself in a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
this would almost imply... save the fact that the controlled diet may have some sort of effect on this. This almost implies that the resulting obesity is not necessarily an effect of the hormones related to energy management, most specifically insulin, being affected as much as hunger that then leads to consuming more calories and hence, that becomes domino one. It's the response to that. It's the eating more that becomes domino one. Because if you can avoid eating more, then you really don't have any negative effects of short duration sleep.
From our study, that's what you would conclude. Yep.
Yeah.
In terms of the glucose and insulin data, if you're maintaining your weight or if you're in negative energy balance, it would seem that sleep restriction would not be so detrimental.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is really interesting.
But that needs to definitely be looked at more closely.
No, I agree. But I have some anecdotal... I want to throw something into this conversation. My audience, as well as myself, we are huge fans of intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is a wonderful opportunity for the body to get a lot of work done in ridding metabolic waste, and there's so many benefits from it. And I want to talk about the days that I fast that I hadn't planned on. I think this will be interesting. We're talking with Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Ange. We're talking about how short sleep duration affects men differently than women. Clearly, women feel less satisfied with the foods they eat, and men just feel hungrier. There's a subtle difference there. But I have to say, I'm glad I'm a man in this one. There's a lot of times where women win, but I would much rather... be really hungry, eat a meal, and feel completely satisfied, then never feel satisfied with everything I'm eating. That's kind of like torture. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right. You get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntoBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntoBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntoBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Company. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Onge. We're talking about how short sleep duration affects men differently than women. And I want to inject something here. And obviously this is completely a result of my own personal experiences, but I've heard some of these same things from people in the audience who've communicated with me. We are a huge audience of fans of intermittent fasting, not just for the autophagocytosis process, which allows the body to get rid of a lot of metabolic waste when it's not being bothered by breaking down and storing energy, but because there's a lot of evidence for those out there who believe the hypocaloric model and its effects on longevity. We know that periodic intermittent fasting actually produces a greater increase in SIRT1 than continuously starving yourself. And so from an age management and longevity standpoint, it makes sense. And intermittent fasting has been around for thousands of years in multiple cultures, so there's got to be something to it. Well, there's days where I don't plan on fasting. Dr. Saint-Onge, there's days where I say, well, tomorrow I'm going to eat all the meals that I normally eat. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to train hard and so on. But I get a really bad night's sleep for whatever reason. And so maybe I only end up with a few hours of sleep. I wake up in the morning. I don't feel good. I instinctively fast on those days until at least after my show, which is after 2 o'clock Eastern time. And I do that because I wake up in the morning craving things that I normally wouldn't want to eat, sweet things and so on. So I already know that my body is screaming at me, you know, feed me these things here. And I take the opposite approach, and respond by fasting because it's my belief, and I have no evidence of this. Mm-hmm. But on those days, it's more important for me to fast in order to maintain the insulin sensitivity, blood sugar levels staying stable in my body. And obviously I will supplement on occasions with essential amino acids. And they do have the ability to stimulate some sort of insulinogenic response, but very, very small response. But by and large, I just fast completely on those days. And those are the days where I crave things that I normally wouldn't crave, like pancakes. So something is going on when I don't, when we don't sleep well that you, I think you're pointing to. This makes perfect sense. I don't think insulin, and I've checked my fasting blood sugar levels in the morning after bad night's sleep, and it's always between 78 and 82, which is where it is all the time for me. Mm-hmm. So clearly my blood sugar isn't gone crazy as a result, but I think you're onto something. What happens to me then is I become hyper hungry.
It's interesting that you, choose to fast on those days too. That you just don't think, I can't add this on top of my fatigue. This fight not to eat.
Well, actually,
and I don't know how easy it is for you to fast either.
No.
I would be going crazy.
It's easy for me to fast. I've been doing it for probably close to a decade now, using intermittent fasting and throughout my life, but it's not easy to fast on those days. But what I learn is this: if I get through the morning, then I end up with when you fast. Everybody out there who regularly intermittent fasts is going to be shaking, nodding their head in a second. When you fast regularly, one of the things that you experience is almost a euphoric clarity. Mental acuity increases, your happiness level. It's quite contrary to what most people think, that you feel deprived, and that happens in the very beginnings. But when you learn how to fast properly and when to time it properly, it doesn't happen. But you become, so what happens for me is if I gave into eating those days, I would be sluggish. My brain wouldn't work right. I'd be all over the place. By fasting those first couple hours in the morning, once I get past that, I almost feel like, wow, I feel so good. I'm so glad I fasted today.
So that's because you know that response that you have. Then.
Yes.
You know, it's like when you're tired and you say, okay, I'm going to go for a run, and you come back, you're better.
Right.
You're less tired, which would be counterintuitive.
Right. But again, it's interesting. And that is the thing that changes for me. The thing that changes for me is that I become really, really hungry as a result of not sleeping well,
right.
And not so much like I'm having blood sugar management issues. So what's the next step for your group?
Well, to dig more into that energy balance issue and really test it out for real. We kind of, we got the results that we did by mistake, kind of, because we weren't, you know, we didn't mean to have people on negative energy balance. We actually wanted them to be neutral, to not be gaining or losing weight. So I think it would be very important to replicate this by actually enforcing it and saying, okay, well, what happens if you're trying to lose weight at the same time as you're sleep deprived? How will that affect your appetite regulating hormones? Will they be even, you know, will they be sensitive to that?
Right.
Will you have even greater appetite or not? Which I think would probably be even greater appetite.
Well, and then the other thing that you're challenged, take this research and then look at somebody who is moderately obese, because the landscape of their brain is very, very different. We know that, and that's going to be, because if it comes down to hunger and satisfaction with the meal that you just had, these are, for lack of better terms, you know, perceptions. And perceptions can be altered at different times of life due to different circumstances. But more importantly, if you're somebody who's spent a long enough period of time in the moderately obese to obese area, we know that the landscape of your brain changes. We know that the reward system of your brain changes. And if it's just a matter of hunger and satisfaction, how does that play into this?
I've been reading my whole portfolio of studies on sleep, because we just published on neuroimaging data also that we have. And it's interesting where you're coming at with the obese brain versus the sleep-deprived brain. We did functional magnetic resonance imaging on our participants and looked at how their neuronal responses to foods were after a period of short sleep compared to a period of habitual sleep.
Really?
And we did find enhanced responsivity to foods in areas associated with reward and pleasure. And I was just at the American Heart Association Scientific Sessions this weekend where I gave a talk about on this. And my concluding slide was a figure that had been published looking at energy balance regulation in the non-obese and the obese, where you would find in the obese lesser homeostatic controls mm-hmm. and greater hedonic controls mm-hmm. of food intake.
Right.
So they get enhanced reinforcement of foods in the obese state versus the non-obese. And I concluded by saying the sleep-restricted or the sleep-deprived individual is probably more like the obese individual, and the sleep-replete
right.
state is probably more like the non-obese individual, in the sense that there is additional rewarding of food, additional hedonic aspects of food stimuli for enhancing food intake, and a reduction in the homeostatic controls of food intake in sleep deprivation.
See, and
or sleep restriction.
Understanding the things that you're working on are really critical, in my humble opinion, to fight against the obesity epidemic, which poses the greatest single financial, socioeconomic health risk to this country that no one is really, really looking at the right way. And because the only answer to this scenario, the only acceptable answer to this scenario is to treat the people who are obese and get them into a healthy body status, but more importantly, to stop the influx of new obese people. And if we understand mm-hmm. how the reward system works and how people even get on that train in the first place, and we can stop them, I've been talking about on the show, and we just came out of a presidential election, right? And mm-hmm. I said, no one is asking the right questions about healthcare. I have this picture in my head. I'm 54 years old. I remember silent cartoons when I lived in New York, black and white cartoons. There was one where the cat is in the boat and the mouse pulls the cork out of the bottom of the boat, and the boat's going down and the cat is bailing water as fast as possible. And then finally the cat looks into the camera and the inevitable, he accepts it. He looks and he sinks and he goes under. So
yeah.
Our current healthcare answer is just like that cat. We are debating about how do we bail this boat faster. Nobody's saying, why don't we put the cork back in the hole first and stop the influx of water? Then we have time to deal with this and manage this. But mm-hmm. the marching crowd into the obesity epidemic is so much faster than we can fix the ones that are obese that we are that boat going down.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're working on is so critical, because what you're working on is part of the cork of getting people not to become obese in the first place when we understand the mechanisms that lead people on that train. I love it. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Ange. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Later in the show, Dr. Robert DiSilvestro is going to talk about the amazing effects of a lipidated form of curcumin. You know, liposomal delivery is becoming all the rage nowadays. We have liposomal vitamin C. I really think that there's something to all of this, especially with some things that we know are beneficial but don't have a high bioavailability. So we'll be talking to him a little bit later in the show. Right now, Dr. Marie-Pierre Saint-Ange, we're talking about sleep duration. So, Dr. Saint-Ange, it appears to me that if what you've discovered plays out, and again, we're talking about this one study in a vacuum, and that's a very dangerous thing because you can't, everything that we're talking about here has to be tempered with the fact that this has to be reproduced, reevaluated. We have to see these same situations occurring under some other circumstances and so on before we can say, oh, here's the prescription. But based on this one study, it seems that the effects of short duration sleep on obesity can simply be mitigated through intake control, if this is true.
Right. I think there's also other studies too that need to be looked at. There's a publication where they a small study where they looked at the effect of caloric restriction in the context of short sleep and habitual sleep, and participants lost the same amount of weight both on restricted sleep and habitual sleep, but the composition of the weight lost was different.
How so?
So they lost more fat-free mass, lean tissue, muscle that you don't want to lose, on short sleep compared to habitual sleep. Yes. And also the resting metabolic rate, you know how when you lose weight, your resting metabolic rate goes down, makes it even more difficult to keep losing weight because, you know, now instead of needing 2,500 calories a day, your resting metabolic rate goes down, you need 2,400, 2,300, and so on.
You lose weight. You know what I
hope? Well, their resting metabolic rate went down more on when they were undergoing caloric restriction and short sleep than when they were undergoing caloric restriction and habitual sleep.
And I can't wait for the scientific orthodoxy to start referring to these metabolic baselines as muscle. When we, you know, it's no mystery. We talk about this on the show all the time. Muscle is metabolic currency. Aside from the brain and some of the organ systems, nothing burns calories just sitting here like muscle. So what you said is so accurate. If you lose lean body mass, your resting metabolic rate goes down dramatically. This is the problem with yo-yo dieting. People lose just as much body fat as body as muscle. And then when they come out of the diet phase and they just start eating what they ate before, they put on more fat because guess what? Their energy expenditure has dropped when they lost that muscle. But what I want someday is for the scientific orthodoxy to not talk about resting metabolic rate like it's something out in the clouds, but say muscle. Muscle. The individuals lost muscle and hence they couldn't eat as much because they didn't have the calorie expenditure. I am waiting for the scientific orthodoxy to recognize muscle as something more than something aesthetic that made Marky Mark look so good in those underwear ads in Times Square back in the day. You know, I mean, muscle is so important.
Well, of the tissues we can control the mass of, muscle is the most metabolically active. But it compared to the brain and all these other organs, metabolic activity of muscle is quite low. But compared to adipose tissue, it's very high. So with the two tissues we can actually do something about, muscle is the more metabolically active. But as soon as you lose weight, you do lose muscle. You lose muscle, you lose fat mass. The goal of the weight loss is to try to not lose so much muscle. So that's why, you know, restricting diet and adding physical activity in conjunction helps to ensure that you don't lose too much fat mass and helps in terms of keeping resting metabolic rate up as well. But it would seem that doing this in the context of sleep restriction is counterproductive.
Yeah. So in our
study, people were under slight negative energy balance, and their neuronal responses to foods were enhanced, with enhanced rewarding centers involved in reward and pleasure being activated to a greater extent. So basically, when I talk to people about this, I tell them if you're trying to lose weight, being sleep deprived is not a good idea.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Tell me something. In your department there at the Obesity and Nutrition Research Center at St. Luke's, I talk about the threat of obesity on this show quite often and have even gotten some comments that some of the things I've said are not politically correct. You have to understand that I am a former 330-pound individual who was actually walking that fast pace to the grave that most Americans do today. And so maybe I'm not as kind and gentle about some of my assertions, but I have to wonder the kind of dialogue that takes place in these clinical settings where you are looking at obesity, you're challenging obesity, you're trying to find the answers to help people not get obese. Is the attitude, am I too extreme, or is the attitude like, wow, if we don't do something about this, we're really looking at a big problem for this country?
Oh, yes. Definitely. I mean, obesity is a major risk factor for almost everything out there. So, you know, down to, you know, arthritis and, you know, not just the big, you know, diabetes, cardiovascular disease and cancer, but also, you know, just being functional, being able to move and do things, everyday activities.
Right.
It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, obesity and its associated diseases have now pushed tobacco use down to the second place rung of being the number one killer of Americans. And you know, what I find startling is that when you talk about obesity, you have to be very, very cautious about how you position it and the words you use and the references you make and the terms that you use to describe things. You can't talk about it the way we talk about tobacco. Tobacco is terrible. Anybody who smokes cigarettes is crazy. You can say those kind of things and no one would think that you were exacting revenge on a group of people. But if you were to say obesity is destroying this country and people who are not looking for answers to their obesity, are reckless, and we, you say those kind of things, that, oh my God, you get really pounded into the ground. I can show the bumps on the top of my head. So, but anyway, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to also thank you for the research that you're doing. I think the research you're doing is very, very important, when looking at the front end of beginning, a lifestyle of obesity, and the discoveries that you are going to elucidate probably will have a lot more to do with, saving people and this country than the gastric bypass surgeries that everybody is lining up for these days. So great work you're doing. Great work.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for being on the show, okay?
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care.
Have a good afternoon.
You too. Yeah, that was fun. Great interview. Okay, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Robert D. Silvestro about the effects of lipidated curcumin. Great, great stuff coming. And also, during the break, why don't you give me a break and vote for Superhuman Radio on the 8th Annual Podcast Awards. Go to podcastawards.com, scroll down to the health and fitness section, click Superhuman Radio, submit, and don't forget to click the link in the email you get, because that's how they tally them. That way, they don't have any dead people voting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
DJ Yoda, Yoda.
Mad brothers know his name.
DJ Yoda, see?
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right, you get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP, or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the blueprint forum to ensure your success.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The Superhuman Radio studio is officially a standing friendly workplace as I stand and do my show. We've got more research coming out on activity and longevity. There, you know, when it rains, it pours, folks. And the linkage to the old adage, do you get old because you stop moving or do you stop moving because you get old? I think we're figuring that one out now. You get old because you stop moving. So stand up. If you're at work listening to the show right now, stand up, stretch. If your boss looks at you crazy, just, you know, point at your back and stretch and stand for a little while. That's it. Easy stuff. Profound effects. Okay, my next guest is Dr. Robert D. Silvestro from Ohio State University. Great school just north of us. How you doing, Dr. D.
Silvestro? I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Okay, so first of all, before we start talking about your research, let's just kind of do a cursory review. You decided to study curcumin because curcumin is all the rage nowadays as a anti-inflammatory. It seems to have some glucose disposal effects. Were you looking at these specifically when you thought about this study?
Well, I followed some of the curcumin research in the literature, and I was pretty impressed by the effects they got. But in many cases, they were giving really high doses. And one of the reasons is that sometimes when we take these natural products and extract out what we think are going to be the most active ingredients, sometimes when you get the active ingredient away from all its friends, it doesn't work as well.
I know.
So basically what was going on in a lot of the papers I was seeing is they were giving these really, really high amounts of this curcumin extract of the turmeric spice, which is kind of its natural home, is the turmeric spice.
Right.
So they were taking this out, and you know they weren't getting really good activity. Well, I just kind of filed that away. And really, the company that made the version that I studied came to me. I had done some work for them before, and they came to me and said, we've got this version where it's mixed with certain kinds of lipids in a way that we think it will be absorbed much better than when you just pull the curcumin out and give it
right
in the forms it's been given.
And let's talk about that just a little bit. So first of all, we know that curcumin has poor bioavailability because the first pass liver degradation that occurs. But when you use a liposomal delivery, what you basically do is you take these phospholipids and they become kind of like Trojan horses and molecules up to about, I want to say, 400 to maybe 800 Dalton in molecular weight, have an easy time becoming encapsulated by these phospholipids. And then what happens is, miraculously, the agents that are encapsulated in there can travel to the body, bypassing the liver, through both the lymphatic system and then also through certain portions of the intestines and even under the tongue, from what I understand. So it increases the bioavailability because more of the agent stays intact and gets into the bloodstream. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, that's correct. We didn't directly measure absorption, but it had to be getting absorbed because we got a lot of good effects that go way past the digestive system.
Did you compare any non-lipidated curcumin with the lipidated curcumin as just like a starting point just to see what type of blood levels were being viewed?
Yeah, we did not because that, you know, a lot of times this research, you're driven somewhat by the funding source. And you know, that was not part of their protocol, and they were the ones putting the money up. This was funded by a company called Verdure Sciences out of Noblesville, Indiana. They're the ones that actually developed this product. And you can't buy directly from them, but you could go online and look for the a number of other companies, you know, will make this product available, and you know, it can be purchased. So they were interested in again, the trade name of this is called Long Vida, L-O-N-G-V-I-D-A. And basically, we didn't do a direct comparison. However, the fact that we got such an effect with 80 milligrams of curcumin is what we gave. And you know, most of the papers I was seeing were giving like a gram or more. We gave 80 milligrams. People were giving 1 gram or
right,
more.
Right.
So, you know, indirectly.
Let's just address something real quick. Curcumin is one of those things that some people react differently gastrointestinally to it. So taking large doses of it could cause some distress in some people in both their stomach and their intestines. So getting to a lower effective dose probably makes compliance a lot better for those people who are wanting to take a curcumin supplement.
Yeah, that's true. And nobody in our study complained about any problems at all. And sometimes if you just give people starch in a capsule, somebody complains.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so talk a little bit about the design of the study. How was the study designed? How many subjects in the study? What did you look for?
Well, basically, we used generic middle-aged people. That's what we just, you know, there's always the choice of when you're doing a first-time study, what do you pick?
Dr. DeSilvestro, that's all you have in Ohio. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But anyway, we picked, you know, 40 to 60-year-old male and females that were relatively healthy. I mean, you know, you can also look at people that already have something wrong with them, and there's an advantage to doing it that way. There's, you know, you have to pick something, and that's what we picked. And we started out with about 20 people per group. We ended up with 19 finishers, and we also compared to placebo, where they basically got, you know, just more or less a starch capsule, and the people didn't know which they were getting. And we did what federal grants don't like. We basically said, all right, there's a lot of things we could look for. Let's just try a lot of things, throw a lot of things out there, and see what sticks to the wall. So we decided to try a lot of different things. And, you know, some of them we didn't see any difference, but for quite a few we did.
Okay, what were the things that you I'm just interested. What were the things you looked for that you didn't see any difference?
Well, one thing people don't realize sometimes is that not all antioxidants do all things equally
right,
well.
Right.
And, you know, for example, green tea is wonderful at some things. It's not so good at some other things. I actually just finished a study with apples, and I got a lot of media coverage on this, where we gave just one apple a day to people for 4 weeks, and we got a tremendous effect on oxidized LDL, which is a molecule that's very involved in hardening of the arteries. Well, curcumin wasn't very good at that. It didn't do anything to oxidize the LDL. On the other hand, it did things the apples didn't do. So it comes down to you want to use a variety of strategies.
What did the curcumin do that seems to be one of its signatures?
Yeah, there were a number of things that we looked at that we got a good effect in. For example, we looked at antioxidant capacities in the saliva and just the ability of saliva to get rid of free radicals. And it's done, you know, outside the body. It's, you know, somewhat of an artificial setting, but it does give us a pretty good idea of just capacities to get rid of free radicals. And that went up. We lowered plasma triglyceride values by a pretty good amount. You know, that was another thing it did. It increased a particular enzyme in the blood that's an antioxidant enzyme. A lot of the antioxidants work directly. Well, this seemed to work directly and indirectly. It directly got rid of free radicals, but it also increased the body's own antioxidant molecules. At least we looked at one in this case, catalase is what it's called, and it went up by quite a bit.
And see, catalase is all the rage right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that. People that don't know what that is, it's an enzyme in the body. The body has hundreds and hundreds of enzymes. These are proteins that speed up reactions, and they do all kinds of things. So if you scratch your head, you have to use about 50 enzymes to do that. But in this case, this happens to be a defensive enzyme. It's in the body to cause certain reactions to happen that prevent oxidant stress.
Is it part of the P450 cytochrome cascade?
No, but it involves hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is made in the body as a byproduct
right.
of some reactions. And that's not a free radical in itself, but it can become a free radical. A free radical
if it's oxidated.
It's a very reactive molecule that is an unpaired electron. So hydrogen peroxide is not that, but it gives rise to those kind of molecules. So you want to get rid of it, and catalase is one of the body's main defenses against hydrogen peroxide.
Any effects on glutathione, for instance?
We did not look at glutathione in this particular study, but that would be interesting. It's a molecule that I'm interested in, certainly. I have some unpublished data on green tea. This is where, again, different antioxidants do different things. I have some unpublished data on green tea in rats that shows that we get a really big increase in lung glutathione. So
that's good news.
Glutathione is a really important molecule in the body.
What about, I have so many questions. They're jumping around in my head like little ADHD kids, and I have to pick one at a time.
Okay.
What about the curcumin as a recycler of other, I know that antioxidants help each other. You know, they kind of like a relay race of taking metabolic waste away. Does curcumin recycle any other antioxidants or aid in the disposal of other debris from antioxidants?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer to that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that did happen.
Okay.
One thing we did measure was nitric oxide in the plasma, and nitric oxide is one of these molecules that's very good sometimes, and you don't want it so much in other times. But in someone, for example, that's worried about their blood pressure, you want your nitric oxide to go up. And we saw an increase in nitric oxide, and what I think was happening was that the curcumin was protecting nitric oxide from being broken down by oxidant stress. And that might involve some of the recycling you're talking about.
Yeah, almost a nitric oxide reuptake inhibitor. Hey, there we go. Okay, so what other things were seen that were important to the benefits of curcumin?
Well, another thing we looked at was a molecule in the blood that's abbreviated SICAM, and it stands for a big, long word. But it's something that gives us a little bit of a window into seeing what basically people's lungs, not lungs, sorry, blood vessel integrity is like. A big buzzword in medical research now is endothelial cell integrity.
Yeah.
And this is a measure of that, which is another factor in atherosclerosis. When the hardening of the arteries takes place, this endothelial cell integrity gets compromised. So this molecule gives us a snapshot of what's going on with that, and that was lowered by curcumin.
Okay, we have to take a break. There was something else that was lowered by curcumin that's kind of exciting, especially in the current Alzheimer's epidemic. We're talking with Robert DeSilvestri. I told you, I'm like an ADHD kid. We're talking with Dr. Robert DeSilvestro from Ohio State University about the benefits of curcumin, but more specifically, a unique type of curcumin, and that is a one that is encapsulated into a liposomal delivery system. So as little as 80 milligrams was getting blood levels into the zone that his group was looking for, as opposed to the grams that most people take. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhuman.com. Quest.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
The most popular H-Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. Is now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right. You get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I continue to stand as I do my show. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Robert DiSilvestro about the effects of a lipidated potato form of curcumin. And the magic here is that it delivers, there's a greater bioavailability of curcumin, so you don't have to take nearly as much to get the effects. We know the value of curcumin, but here's something interesting. We have what can be considered a quiet epidemic of Alzheimer's disease occurring in the United States, and lots of people have looked at Alzheimer's disease and tried to look at the mechanism of action that causes it. One thing that has been implicated in numerous well-done studies is the development of a plaque from a protein called amyloid beta protein or beta amyloid protein, depending on which side of the camp you're on. It seems that this research showed that this particular form of curcumin lowered that plaque.
Well, we didn't directly measure the plaque, but we definitely measured the beta amyloid protein in the
blood. Okay, I'm sorry.
And
right.
It did go down. But there's some other work going on with curcumin, too. I mean, we're not at the point where I can say, gee, take this curcumin and you'll never get Alzheimer's disease. But this data we have, along with some other data that some other people have been doing, particularly in some animal models, I think suggests that there may be something to this.
Now, I have to ask you this question. And if you can't answer, I understand. But these other things that you're doing, are you also using the lipidated form of curcumin?
Well, I don't have any other studies on curcumin going on right now, but I'd really like to do some more. And this is the form I intend to use.
Because I have to ask a question. These phospholipid delivery systems use basically lecithin. That is hypersaturated so that it changes from its waxy consistency to more of that of like a vegetable oil, if you will, viscosity-wise. And we know that lecithin has quite a few benefits in and of itself. And so when I looked at the beta amyloid protein concentrations, it made me wonder if possibly this is seen in all curcumin research.
Don't know that anyone else has done exactly what you just said. Now, the amount of lecithin that was in this is not tremendously high, so I don't think the lecithin by itself was giving us the effect. I think it was doing it by helping the curcumin.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I buy that. It was just worth mentioning. Also, there was also a change in C-reactive protein levels, or was there a corollary change in C-reactive protein levels?
Let's see. I don't yeah, we did. I'm sorry. We did not see it. We actually did not see an effect on C-reactive proteins. I've done some other work that's not published with some other antioxidants, again, where we have seen some depressions in C-reactive protein. In this case, we did not see a change. But one thing that was interesting, we measured another molecule. It's called myeloperoxidase.
Right.
Now, if that goes up with C-reactive proteins going up, that's not a good sign. That's basically saying you're getting inflammation. Myeloperoxidase is a molecule made by the immune system. Now, it's part of the immune system's normal function. So it's, in one sense, it's good to have it being made because it's part of what the immune system does. But if the immune system's overreacting and you're getting excessive inflammation, then that's not something you want. So what we found here was that myeloperoxidase levels went up, but C-reactive proteins did not. So the latter was saying we were not getting more inflammation, but we were getting more myeloperoxidase. So we took that as an indication that the part of the immune system that makes this molecule was functioning better. It was not functioning inappropriately as occurs during excessive inflammation, but it was functioning the way it's supposed to.
Does the production of myeloperoxidase produce more C-reactive protein? Because I know, does it? Is that a byproduct of myeloperoxidase?
Well, they often go together because myeloperoxidase is made by neutrophils, which is a class of our white blood cells.
Right.
And so sometimes if you're seeing a lot of myeloperoxidase, it means something bad is going on because your immune system is all riled up. And but just to have, you want your immune system to work well when it's supposed to work well, but you don't want it to get out of control, which happens in some inflammatory diseases. So we took this as a sign where the myeloperoxidase went up, but C-reactive didn't, as a case of, well, the immune cells are just working well. They're not all riled up because of inflammation. So often myeloperoxidase goes up at the same time as CRP because they're both signs of a riled up immune system.
What about the alanine aminotransferase? What relevance did that have in all this?
Well, typically, if you go to a physician's office, they are doing a battery of blood tests just kind of to see what's going on with you. This is one of the measurements that's often done by a clinical laboratory. It's an indication of liver health. This is an enzyme made by the liver. So if a lot of liver cells are dying or breaking apart, this spills into the blood. So someone that has hepatitis, for example, has very high levels of these of this particular measurement. Well, we found that even though these people didn't have liver problems, we found the levels of this went down. So it appeared the curcumin was protecting the liver. Now, you could say, well, it's protecting a liver that's already healthy, but you want to keep the liver that way, so that's still a good thing.
So, and that, for those of us who pay attention to our blood work, that would be on the hepatic test as ALT, correct?
It would be ALT. Sometimes it's referred to as yeah, there's other names that are given to it sometime, but if you see ALT, that's what it is.
Yeah, and we've all seen that. I mean, now you know what it is. So, okay, so these changes occurred in the presence of what is equal to an 80 milligram dose of lipidated or lipidated curcumin. Over what period of time were these changes?
We just gave it for 4 weeks, so it wasn't a particularly long study.
Did you test just at the end? I mean, you did baselines and then other testing. Did you just test again at the end or periodically?
No, we just did beginning and end. Since it was a pretty short intervention, but I think that's impressive that we got these effects in such a short intervention. But we looked at the before and the after.
Would have been interesting to see how fast these...
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's just curious. Okay, so what do you want people to take away from this research?
Well, I think it shows that curcumin has versatility in the kinds of health effects it can have. And it's, you know, if you cook with turmeric all the time, you're probably getting some curcumin, but most of us don't cook with the spice turmeric every day.
Right.
So this is a convenient way to get your curcumin. And again, not all the curcumin supplements out there are created equal. I did not test all the different kinds, but the one I tested was this one. And, you know, again, this is one called Longvita, and it worked extremely well in a relatively short time at a relatively low dose.
Do we have any kind of research to compare curcumin's effect to, for instance, as a result of large populations that we know eat curry, which contains curcumin and turmeric and other things? Do we have any information out there that we can point to and say, you know, Alzheimer's is very low in these within these populations that seem to consume a great deal of these types of spices?
You know, I'm not really aware of a whole lot of epidemiology on curcumin. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but I'm not particularly aware of it. You know, I know there was an article written a number of years ago just talking about the whole thing of curcumin and turmeric and Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, there's some traditional thought that this has effects in these kind of areas. But I'm not aware that anyone's done in what we call an epidemiology study where they've looked at big populations, said, oh, they eat a lot of curcumin, they don't, that type of thing.
Okay, so in summary, it looks like taking curcumin is a good thing, even if people can't get the lipidated version of it. If they can tolerate some amount, some dose of it, it seems to have some benefits for health. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's true. And again, this lipidated version I used, you can buy it. I'm not going to plug any particular sales outlet, but you can go online and type in Longvita and on Google, and you'll find some companies that are selling capsules.
I've been aware of them for a long time. They've done some other good research too, looking at curcumin, I just can't remember what it was, but I remember I talked about it probably a couple years ago at least. This branded form of curcumin has been around for some time now, and it seems to be like great stuff. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some other things. I think that you are actually kind of involved in an entrepreneurial effort along with Ohio State, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so let's talk about that. We're talking with Dr. Robert DeSilvestro. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream kinetic cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about kinetic cream by visiting phoenixbioperformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's phoenixbioperformance.com.
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yes, Fever. It is just you and I against
Welcome
the
back.
Solar system. But with this machine, we shall...
We're talking with Dr. Robert DiSilvestro, Ohio State University. We were talking about lipidated curcumin, which, by the way, you can make it yourself, believe it or not. The same way you can make phospholipid immersed vitamin C. For those of you who have been on the boards and the internet, you know it's pretty simple to make. But with that being said, curcumin in general is really a good thing. So tell us, Dr. DiSilvestro, what entrepreneurial efforts is Ohio State involved in?
Well, they're helping me along with taking some of the research I've done at Ohio State and trying to figure out how we can translate that into products, and I actually do have two startup companies that OSU owns part of. We're not ready to sell anything yet, but we're actually pretty close in a couple of areas. As I'm sure you realize, you can look around at nutritional products that are out there and you can see some that are really good and that are research-backed, and you can see a lot that are more hyped than data-based.
Right.
And I'm sure you've talked about that on your show
sure.
in the past.
Sure.
So I looked at that and I said, you know, there's some things where I see gaps, where I don't really see adequate products. Some are intended for healthy people. Some are intended for improving exercise performance. And then I've got a couple ideas that specifically deal with people that have a specific medical problem. And, you know, a lot of people have talked for a lot of years, oh, gee, why doesn't anyone do more research? Why don't we come up with better products? A lot of times the trick is, unfortunately, just getting the funding to do the research and get the product to market. So we are trying a few directions
here.
So
what areas of, first of all, what areas are you developing products in?
Well, one area that I am working a little bit in has to do with exercise performance, which is not just valuable for athletes, but is valuable for the average person that wants to work out, that gets excited when they are doing a little better than they were doing before, and that encourages them to keep exercising. So I've got something that I think is pretty close. We need to do a little touching up to just figure out exactly what we have, but that's one of the areas that I want to work in.
So this is an ergogenic aid? This would make exercising easier or more productive or what?
You would, I'll just mention one. It's specifically geared at women, and it's not a stimulant. It's basically taking some things that are in one a day but are in better forms in my version and a couple of other nutrients, and we had some pretty dramatic effect in young adult women on things like their 3-mile run times.
Very cool. What other areas are you developing products in?
Well, I'll take the other extreme now. That product's geared especially at people that are very healthy. I'm interested in the whole area of cystic fibrosis. We don't have a cure for that, so the strategy is to try to do things that lower the symptoms and extend life expectancy. Well, I think there's some nutritional approaches to that, but just plain taking the regular kind of supplements that are out there aren't going to work. We're going to have to use some strategies because these people don't have normal uptake of nutrients, and I am looking at some ways of doing that. And that could actually get what's called the classification of a medical food. The FDA, for a very, very, very narrow range of products, allows you to develop something that's like a supplement, but it's actually can be used in a way that very much resembles a drug. And that's
really
something I'm trying to do for cystic fibrosis.
That's very, very cool.
But
very
cool. Again, this classification's pretty narrow. You got to really hit a lot of definitions. But the good news about it is you can get it to market much, much faster than a drug. You can basically sell it and make a disease claim, unlike the case of the supplement. You can actually make a disease claim, and the FDA allows that and allows it much, much more quickly than a drug. But again, you've got to hit a lot of things, and safety has got to be one of those things where there's no question what you're giving is safe.
I mean, it costs, they say it costs $1 million to submit a new drug to the FDA. Does it cost that much money to do the things that would allow a company to make drug-like claims about over-the-counter supplements and nutritional products to get that on with the FDA?
It costs a lot less, but again, this medical food, they call it medical foods, even though most of them aren't foods. They're capsules or tablets.
Right.
But again, it's got to hit some very, very specific conditions. For example, all the ingredients in it have to be food-derived. They all have to have what's called generally regarded as safe status, so
right,
safety's not an issue. And you have to treat something that's specifically wrong with the particular disease. It's not enough to just say, oh, this is good for them. You've got to show that you're hitting an actual metabolic defect, and you're fixing it in a way that's not easily done through diet alone.
Very cool. Okay, but so you're kind of the reason that you were willing to talk about this is because your group is looking for investors, right?
Well, we are looking for some financial support, and you know, if somebody's very interested in that, this is, you know, some of the things are very close to market. Some other things, you know, we could hit a home run with one more study, but we don't know yet. So we've got things on a lot of different stages of the spectrum.
Yeah, very, very cool. Okay, so getting back to this study, what do you hope clinicians and individuals take away from your recent research on the lipidated curcumin?
Well, I think what we've shown so far is that we're giving something that can be taken in just one small capsule a day, and it has a variety of health benefits. And I think at this point, translating what we've done into long-term projections about health, we're not quite there yet, but certainly all the things we've measured are associated with health and have some predictive value.
Okay. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about this.
Oh, I appreciate being on.
Great. Okay, you take care now.
Okay, and I just, you know, if anyone wants to contact me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. How stupid of me.
Well, anyway, if anyone wants to contact me, I'll give you an email. You can use my Ohio State email, but it's kind of long and hard to remember the spelling. So I'll give you the one that we're using for our startup companies because it's pretty easy to remember. It's a Roadrunner address. It's studies, STUDIES, studies at columbus.rr.com.
There you go. There you go. How foolish. Thank you so much, okay, Dr. DeSilvestro?
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Okay, take care. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I got one more announcement to make, and then we'll be done with today's show. Stay tuned.
To outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, U-Gympact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
The most popular Age Force patch just got better. The Power Patch is the only transdermal patch with 25 milligrams of real growth hormone. It's now the Power Patch Extreme. Now, when you buy your month's supply of the Power Patch, you'll receive double the patches. That's right. You get 100% more patches. Existing Power Patch user can upgrade to Power Patch Extreme as well. Just go to superhumanradio.com and click the Power Patch Extreme banner ad today. And don't wait too long. This is a limited time offer and will end soon.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
J.R. Sean Kingston.
You're way too beautiful, girl. That's why it'll
Welcome back.
Work.
Okay. We have just gone through in the United States, for those of you who are inside the United States, our neighbors around the world probably know this as well, we just went through an election. And this electoral process divides the nation. And I don't care whether your candidate won or lost. You know, it's over and we need to get back to work. I want to make people understand something. Regardless of whether your candidate won or lost, people can still affect change in their country. We have to stay focused on the things that are important to us, our right to exercise, our right to buy supplements, our rights to healthy God-given natural foods. We have to not forget that just because this person or that person is running the country, the power is in the base of the pyramid, us. Okay? If anything, that's what the process should show you from yesterday. The majority won. And those of us who are a majority of like-minded people, we can win too. Okay? A lot of you may be disenchanted. Some of you are ecstatic. Regardless of what side of the fence you fall on, every day we still have to go to work, pay our bills, raise our children, and struggle against a country, regardless of what country you live in, I can probably guarantee that you fall into this, that whose government does not really take into consideration the importance that we place, and when I say we, this audience, that we place on health and longevity and avoiding disease. So the election's behind us. I showed up for work just like any other day. Doesn't feel any different, except I am standing a lot now. And you should feel this way too. Let's get back to work. Let's get back focused. We lost Prop 37 in California. That's something worth being mad about. The people in California would have changed the landscape of the United States. We would have started to look more like Europe and other countries that don't allow genetically modified foods to be fed to their people. We didn't ask for GMO to go away. We just asked to be able to know when we were eating something that was genetically modified or not. And for those of you out there who said, well, this law wouldn't have really helped because you would have known about these things, but not those things. That's still more than we know now. The American people deserve to know if there's genetically modified foods in their, the things that they're eating. And if no one can guarantee you that there are good or bad things about GMO. No one. Because science is always changing. We have to get another bite at this apple. No pun intended. We have to change the labeling laws. I don't know how yet. I have to believe that there are a lot of people out there who are very powerful, who feel like us, that we deserve to know that we're eating genetically modified foods that are going to rise like the phoenix here very shortly and start a different campaign. We have to. We vote with our dollars, folks. Every day we vote with our dollars. Once every 4 years we vote for a president. Every day we vote with our dollars. What we spend our money on is an endorsement of those companies' practices and mission. Okay? Just keep that in the back of your mind for now. But we really lost last night as a nation because California got beat on Prop 37. Because had California won, had people known, had companies had to label, they would have had to label for the entire nation. So those of you in Maine, those of you in Ohio, those of you in Slovenia, okay, far, far away, this is an important discussion for all of us. Do governments have the right to trick us into eating foods that we don't want to eat? Period. End of story. That's the basic argument. That's the basic argument. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow is the Subversity Science Roundup with Adele Musa. We have a great show planned tomorrow. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.